Welcome to the Working Parent Podcast. I'm Sharon Charlton Thompson and I co-run the Working Parent Company. This podcast series is designed to help you during COVID-19 and beyond to be as helpful and supportive and resourcing as you possibly can to working parents. You can find out more on our website, theworkingparentcompany.co.uk, and also follow us on LinkedIn for daily updates. Today, we are talking to the wonderful Charlie Warshawski, who is an absolute expert in mindset and everything there is to know about that. Okay, so we are delighted today to welcome Charlie Warshawski onto the Working Parent Podcast. Charlie is a member of the team here at the Working Parent Company. He has for many years delivered amazing talks and sessions to our clients on mindset and growth mindset. And he's also one of our leadership coaches. What we love about Charlie is his fresh approach and all the brain-friendly techniques that he brings to his work, which makes the work that he does very practical and full of strategies and takeaways. And I'm hoping he'll share some of those with us today. Charlie is a dad. He's got four kids. And he, as a mindset expert, he is one of the people in the UK that worked and trained directly with Professor Carol Dweck, which, as some listeners may know, was the author and the main researcher of mindset theory. So we're in very good hands when it comes to learning and understanding about mindset. So welcome, Charlie.
Thank you very much.
Nice to have you on. And I suppose the good starting place would be for the people listening who may be new to this term of mindset and growth mindset and fixed mindset. Can you just give us an overview of what mindset theory is all about?
Yeah, of course I can, Sharon. So we do use the word theory because it is a theory and we're a research theory, but it's a very, very practical thing, mindset. So as an overview, mindset is it's a theory of motivation and it's a way of understanding ourselves and particularly our attitudes and our beliefs. So in the simplest forms, someone who is operating with a fixed mindset is someone who believes that they can't progress their knowledge, their skills, their behaviours beyond wherever they're at, which means that they struggle. They struggle with feedback, they struggle with new challenging tasks, and they struggle with hitting obstacles. So a fixed mindset is a tough place to be in. On the other hand, people who have a growth mindset are much more likely to be able to cope with change, cope with difficulty, cope with challenges, and be able to continue growing and developing. And the difference between a fixed mindset and a growth mindset is a belief. It's a belief about the capacity to change. In simple terms, if we believe we can change, we probably have got a growth mindset.
I love that. Okay, so if we believe we can change, and where does it come from? Where does mindset theory come from?
So as you mentioned, Professor Carol Dweck is a person who has done all of the hard work on this. Not on her own, not as a dry academic in her room, but she's been working since the 60s on this. She was at Harvard and she was at Stanford as well. And she has spent her time and her energy trying to help understand and unpick this theory so that she could answer this really crucial question. How come two people who look quite similar, have similar opportunities, have similar backgrounds, similar levels of education, can react completely differently to a similar situation?
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it, to think of that and how it starts in life, about where our mindset comes from. And you know, with our listeners who are working parents, what would you say is really important about understanding mindset for parents?
So I think we can break it into two. I think it's we can understand our own mindset, and then we can understand the impact that it has on our children before we even get into understanding our children's mindset.
Yeah.
So if we understand our own mindset, it means that we're likely to know where we thrive and where we struggle. It means we're likely to know what our helpful and our unhelpful reactions are to situations, which means that we are going to be able to do our best to put ourselves on a positive path, whether it's in our relationships or in our career or in our sense of self. So that bit of fundamental work is great, and it's not just for parents, but for all adults, all human beings to work on. How it's really useful to us as parents is that we then know what we are demonstrating to our children. Mm. So if we're demonstrating a fixed mindset approach to our children, we're sending a powerful message that says, if it gets difficult, give up. That was Homer Simpson's tagline, yes, by the way. So, and if we say no, we can cope with challenges. We can cope with things that get difficult. We don't mind putting ourselves as the novice. We don't mind putting ourselves as the learner. Then we're sending a message to our children that says, okay, we have a growth mindset. We believe in the capacity of the human being to change. And as we all know, our children look at us as perfect creatures who can't do anything wrong, he says, tongue in cheek. So when we say to our children, we are learners, we are growing, we're changing, we're developing, I think that also sends a really powerful message. So as parents demonstrating and modelling, I think that's what's important for us.
Mm, absolutely. And I know that, you know, you'll know more about this than myself, but over recent years that mindset theory has really been brought into schools in the UK. And I know for, particularly in primary school, thinking about my own two children, I know that both of them are really aware of it in their primary school. They're now both at secondary. And even at secondary, I know that the Matthew Syed book did the rounds, you know, You Are Awesome, and that has some mindset theory in it. But what makes it important for our children and in the school setting? What can you say about that?
Well, so let's take the children first. For our children, I think that children are absolutely bombarded with the possibility of having a fixed mindset from the time that they leave the house. Mm. So the idea, and some great research by Professor Dweck, showed that 95% of three-year-olds are operating principally with a growth mindset. And by the time they get to seven, it's down to about 55%.
Right.
So systems, you know, going into groups, having not being fully understood by the people in front of you, having to fit all of your informal learning in those first 3 years of life to more formal structures of learning, there's loads of opportunities to pick up an unhelpful negative self message about ourselves. So I think that's a fundamental thing, is that the system can provoke a fixed mindset, and we really want to be able to protect our children from that. Yeah. That makes it principally an important thing. The second thing is that for schools, actually helping children develop a growth mindset is A, quite difficult, and B, quite attainable if they focus on it. You know, it's easy to keep going, respond to league tables, respond to external requirements, and forget the individual and all of their untapped into potential. So when schools like your kids' school have started to teach about mindset in a pastoral way, not as part of an academic program, then suddenly they start to unlock and get rid of unhelpful beliefs and let them tap into these positive beliefs. So I think as parents in 2020, we're really lucky that there's a partnership now between schools and between parents. We can all be teaching about mindsets to help our children understand that they are not these fixed entities. They have got the capacity for change.
I love it. And I see the real duality in that, you know, that my mindset as a mother has a real impact on the mindset that I cultivate in my children. You know, the relational quality of that, in the same way that a teacher's mindset has a real impact on the mindset of my children and all the other structures, et cetera, that children are exposed to. I can see that that makes it really important, you know, as a parent to try and model something around growth mindset, that change is possible and change is doable. I can really understand that. I'm thinking about where we're all at now and with COVID-19 and, you know, the situation that we all find ourselves in, many of us homeschooling, or if we have children that are preschool age, you know, trying to combine work and young children at home is incredibly difficult for working parents right now, who are under enormous sort of role stretch at this time. So what can you say about what makes mindset, in your mind, really important right now in the situation we find ourselves in?
So at the heart of mindset theory is the idea that our response under stress is most likely to teach us the best about our own mindset. So, for example, students, whether they're children or adult students, doing easy tests, scoring 10 out of 10 all the time, not being challenged, we can create this little bubble around ourselves of all is good, all is fine. Yeah. But then when it cranks up to a harder test and suddenly we're scoring 2 out of 10, then maybe some of our fixed mindset tendencies might start coming out, might start emerging. And this crisis is like constantly doing a test that's too hard for us, you know, for parents and for kids. You know, I was working last night at 10:30. My son and I were trying to upload 8 videos onto Microsoft Teams, and goodness, we had no clue how to do it.
Yeah.
And we've all got this, haven't we? We've all got situations that are new to us, situations that are difficult, roles that we have to adapt. You know, our children being away from their friends, having to be self-directed learners, whether they're 3 or 13. And we also have to, as adults, respond to whether we're working and not on furlough, trying to provide good support for our colleagues, fellow workers, having to change expectations. So I think the fixed mindset buttons have got the potential to be pressed all day, every day, currently. So that's why I think it's really important. If we realise that we're finding something difficult, rather than give ourselves this permanent terrible message of, well, that's because I'm rubbish, or that's because my child's rubbish, we can give ourselves the message that at the moment it's tough, so therefore I need to find out how I can adapt a growth mindset, how I can find a new way to deal with these difficult circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things I'm saying to myself at the moment on a daily basis is reminding myself I'm doing my best. You know, rather than giving myself a hard time about being a bit of a rubbish homeschooler or whatever.
Yes.
Important to understand that. So, you know, I'm fascinated about nurture, nature, and the whole sort of debate there, possibly because, as you know, my children are adopted. So it's an area that really fascinates me. But when it comes to mindset, is it a case that we just have a fixed mindset or a growth mindset and we're born with it and that's it?
I mean, that's a great question. And the nature-nurture thing, I mean, you will find geneticists who will write fully about this is good or this is not good. But actually, we can't get down to the numbers. You know, we can't get down to any specific number that says, okay, it's 27% nature, 42% nurture. All of those things are too hard to work out. And really where we've got to, and particularly with now being able to understand the brain, and you mentioned Matthew Saeed earlier on, the idea, the work that he's done in his great book, Bounce.
Yeah.
A lot of this stuff shows that actually it's not nature or nurture, but it's a multiplier. You know, so it's nature times nurture. So we can happily tell ourselves that through an accident of birth to these people, we are going to have more opportunities because we are born to people who have particular sets of attributes. But we can also look at our circumstances, you know, and we can also see that a combination of who we're born to, but our circumstances, how we're brought up, and then what we do with all of that information is more likely to make a change. So the nature nurture thing, I definitely, it's great that you brought it up. It's definitely it's a one times the other rather than one or the other. As to whether we just have a fixed or growth mindset, Professor Drake will talk about that was a mistake, I think, in her writing early on, that we were encouraged to categorize ourselves in the way that so many of these, you know, profiles and questionnaires and psychometrics tell you. Actually, the fact of the matter is, we are more likely to be fixed in some areas and growth in other areas. I know loads of people who've got really, really strong growth mindsets in many areas of their lives, but they'll still have a little, what the French call a piège, a little booby trap, a little something that draws them back. Now, I've got a strong growth mindset, but I've got plenty of little pièges going on all over the place. So the idea that we can feel really strong and confident, let's say, in our workplace, in meetings with colleagues, and then in front of our three-year-old crumble to bits and really struggle, there is no contradiction in that. We've got a fixed mindset over there and a growth mindset over there.
Yeah, I get it. What interests me is bringing that to life with some examples for our listeners. So I'm putting you on the spot a bit here, but where would your booby traps be, and where would your growth mindset be in your own life?
Well, let's start with the positives. Why not? I always encourage people to do that. So I think my positives are in language learning. You know, we're in this country, we are the bottom of the European league table for language learning. Only about 5% of people speak a second language to a strong level of competence. I feel very confident learning other languages. I started when I was a child on holidays in France, and I now learn a new language every couple of years. I speak five now. I'm what's known as a polyglot, which either is translated as someone who speaks many languages or a show-off.
Wow.
So actually one of my great growth mindset heroes is a chap called Benny Lewis, well worth looking up. Benny the Polyglot, he's known as, because he had a really strong fixed mindset about his language learning until he got his motivation and got his techniques, and he makes my five pale into insignificance. He speaks 10. So there's a good example. As for my own fixed mindsets, they tend to come in the artistic world. So my handwriting is shocking. I'm left-handed. And my drawing skills are terrible. And my singing is appalling. But what I'm quite proud of is I've tried to transform all of those things. Pretty unsuccessfully, it has to be said. But I have had a go at transforming those things. And that's why I've got a bit of a fixed mindset, because even trying, even working hard, I know that my voice is still poor. In fact, I once did some singing in a little group, maybe about 20 or 30. I got my guitar out and sang a couple of songs. And the type of feedback I had were things like, I thought I'd heard some bad singing before, but this probably takes a biscuit. Someone else said, I didn't think Charlie would carry on, but he did. So I think that gives an indication about my fixed mindset.
I relate to the singing, and I'm Welsh, so I'm supposed to be able to sing, but Absolutely. Sadly cannot. So would that mean, for example, when it comes to languages, you would have a belief that, you know, the voice inside your head goes, yep, I can have a go at this. You know, I feel that I, you know, can sort of expand and learn in that area. And with your fixed mindset around singing, your voice inside your head would say, oh, Charlie, you're rubbish at singing. Don't even bother. Yeah. You're not going to get anywhere.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I've read that we're really strongly encouraged to do is if we're trying to work and transform those fixed areas, we need to do it in as safe an environment as possible. Yeah. So trying to do any, you know, practice singing, I would do it in a bit of a secretive way. I wouldn't do it in front of my children, who laugh within about half a second. I think we need to be quite gentle with ourselves to start transforming those things. But it's absolutely that. It's either, yeah, I hear this voice that says, it's impossible, or it's really hard, or probably the worst one is, it's possible, but it's just not worth the effort. You know, like, if I dropped everything else and focused on this 24/7, maybe I could make a transformation. I've got a book here. It's one of those handwriting practice books, you know, that tells you to do daily exercises. And I've filled in about 70 or 80 pages. And, you know, the improvement is so marginal that it's hardly worth even mentioning.
Yeah.
So it's that. You think, well, it's doable, but the effort is just too much.
So can we change? You know, if we've got a fixed mindset in our lives, in maybe some of our lives or more of our lives than we'd like, is it possible to change from fixed to growth mindset?
Yes, it is. It's absolutely possible. And the variation in how we can change is huge. So at an instant level, I have seen someone read, understand, leave the room and change in a heartbeat. Boom. Just change. It's like the attitude change means that they can go and do. And I've also seen people stuck for many years and then gradually build up through the confidence to be able to change. So one of the things that we do in schools when we work with teachers, we really encourage them to, we call it a pledge to try. So we really encourage teachers to take on an area that they know they're struggling with, an area that they know they've got a fixed attitude, and then try and shift it. But unlike what I said, sort of slightly contradicting what I said before, do it in public. But if they feel safe, do it in public. Put up their, if you like, their progress chart in front of their children and tell them. So I've seen many, many, many teachers do this, and they do range from the relatively low key. So, for example, learning to draw, a year three teacher, I know, Danielle, learning to draw. So she wasn't confident in her drawing like me. So she did some practicing, she did some courses, and she would bring her children's, she'd bring her drawings in every Monday morning and show them to the children. She would get feedback from that. So that felt manageable for her. Mm. Others, language learners I've seen do that. I've seen one head teacher, incredibly brave, an adult couldn't swim. And so he started taking swimming lessons at the local swimming baths, bumped into the kids, of course. But he shared his swimming journey with the children at an assembly once a week.
Wow.
I know. And the bravest two, I think, were two who, same thing, but what they were learning was musical instruments, one a guitar, one a harp. And what they would do is that they would, A, give Monday morning assembly concerts on their instruments, which they were, you know, they were rookies at. They weren't very good, but they were having a go. And B, put up notice boards to ask for feedback and recommendations from their kids. So, yes, we can change. We don't have to do it in such a public environment as these brave teachers and head teachers, but the possibility of change is absolutely there.
I love that. I mean, one of the things that I notice in what you're saying is how many alignments there are with the coaching space in what you're talking about. You know, a place to try that feels psychologically safe is some of the qualities of a good coaching relationship. And also by the teacher sharing the stuff with the kids, you know, about his swimming progress, you know, he's putting in an accountability partner, you know, so there's somebody witnessing the progress that he's making. So in hearing you speak, it's so aligned to the work that we do as executive coaches and leadership coaches, and that we're creating a safe space where small experiments can safely start to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are so many crossovers between this mindset work and coaching, and, you know, we've talked about it before. And we have got full-day programs that we do teaching mindsets for coaches, because the depth of this stuff in relationship to that one-to-one coaching conversation is huge.
Yeah.
That's for another podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can see it. And I know the work of Professor Dweck and the work that you do goes incredibly deeply into this subject as well. So how do we, is there a sort of, you know, sure way of working out what one's mindset is on any area of our lives? I mean, I've got a sense of it from hearing you talk, but is there a question we can ask ourselves or an easy way of working it out?
So the two approaches are self-reflection and an external assessment, if you like. And, you know, Professor Dweck has on online, there is a questionnaire which you can easily find at mindsetonline.com. And it's a 16-question questionnaire. We've got it. I'm sure we can upload it onto the podcast or something.
That would be great, yeah.
So those things, they give us like indicators on key areas, like particularly like intellectual ability, sporting ability, artistic ability, that we can map out that fixed in growth. But I think more than that, I think we can work it out, all the little nuances. So we, by reviewing ourselves, reviewing our own behavior, keeping a journal, making some notes, we can find out whether we have a fixed mindset in any area. And I tend to use like a little simple 4-question rubric. So I would ask myself, you know, do I believe I'm good at this? Do I believe I can get better at this? Am I open to feedback about this? And am I open to challenge myself about this?
Okay, I'm taking those immediately to my 12-year-old on maths because he has a very fixed mindset when it comes to maths. But also, yeah. I can instantly see how that would bring awareness to myself as a parent, and myself just as a human being in the world, and how that would identify where I get stuck in fixed mindset patterns.
Yeah. And just briefly, on when you mentioned maths, maths is the one academic area that has more fixed mindset, transforming children from a growth to a fixed mindset than any other subject. No other subject do 5-year-olds come home and cry and say, I can't do it. You know, we don't say that when we can't paint at 5 but we do that at maths. If you want to know, and parents out there, if you want to know about fixed mindset and maths, look up the wonderful work of Professor Jo Bowler, B-O-A-L-E-R. She does a website called U-Cubed, and she works alongside Professor Dweck. And what she has done, she's written a book called Mathematical Mindset. It transformed attitudes, mine, my children's, many thousands of teachers' attitudes towards maths and mindsets. It's well worth a look.
Brilliant. I'm scribbling like mad. Thank you. Poor Sam doesn't know what's coming his way. But hopefully that will, I can see how that would help the conversations we get stuck in around maths, definitely. And what about for our kids? So is it the same questions to work out their mindset?
I think those questions are really useful. One wonderful year four teacher came up with a four-question survey that she was asking to her children, and then we expanded it to all of the work we were doing in schools. And the questions that we were asked there, get ready to scribble, were, you know, am I born clever?
Oh, yeah.
What makes a good learner?
Mm.
How do I improve as a learner? Mm. And they're the three most important. And so asking them what comes out from those questions is we find out, is there a fixed or growth mindset attitude, you know, the born or made question. And we also find out what happens, how we view ourselves. So if we say, how do I know I'm a good learner? If we know we're a good learner because we get lots of tens or we find everything easy, that's a pretty sure fixed mindset indication that tells us actually we're not pushing and stretching ourselves. Now, if, as Professor Dweck has reported, some, you know, we get answers when people say, well, I know I'm a good learner because I have to work hard and I struggle, and when things get difficult, I don't give up, then that's an indication of someone who's got some growth mindset thinking going on. Yeah. So I think that the questions can be enriched.
Absolutely. I think, I don't know if every parent in the land just had the internal sigh that I did when the thought of asking our children, are you born clever or were you born clever? Yeah, very helpful. Thank you. Now, this is my bottom line question. So say I've got a fixed mindset around my singing, which is pretty awful, no matter how much I'd love it to be different. Do I have to change an unhelpful or fixed mindset?
It's a question that I've debated quite long and hard. Firstly, if something doesn't bother us, then we can just leave it alone. If there's no negative impact, it doesn't matter, does it? So if I can't sing in tune and all it means is that I miss out at the campfire, then I can shrug. If it does bother us, then it's important to change it. Public speaking is a big one in my life. I go to Toastmasters clubs, public speaking clubs, and been involved for over 10 years. And many, many people who come to Toastmasters clubs are people who have missed out on opportunities because they didn't change a fixed mindset. You know, a fear of public speaking is nothing to be ashamed of. Many, many, many people have that. It always shows up top of the list. But if you're avoiding interviews, avoiding promotions, avoiding stretching yourself, turn down your best man's wedding speech and all of that because you don't want to change and learn and get over a difficulty in public speaking, then yes, I think we do need to change it. I think we're not serving ourselves. We're not serving our potential in that way. But we don't all have to score ourselves 10 on everything. You know, it's not that type of glossy high five approach to life that we need to take. It's about what's useful. There is another element to not changing a fixed mindset, which is that sometimes having that almost stubborn tenacity of, I don't care about other people's feedback. I know what I'm doing is right, is really important. So if you, the examples that I like to think about are Paralympic athletes. Yeah. And if you think about their resilience, obviously, but if you think about the messages that they must have received over the years, for every one person who says to Ellie Simmons or others, go for it, there would have been 10 who would have said, that's enough now, you know, stop now, you know, you've pushed it. The fella Spencer West who climbed up Kilimanjaro, he's got no legs, you know, he would have had plenty of people who would have said, stop it, fella. But yet for him to say, I'm not listening to feedback, I'm shutting that down, it's quite a fixed mindset approach, but it probably for him in those moments was really important and really powerful.
Yeah, I can see that. And also I can see the relevance here for working parents and leaders in organisations that, you know, there are some things that don't matter, that we don't have to pay attention to, and maybe we're not very good at, so it doesn't really matter that much. There are some things that do matter, that perhaps we have a fixed mindset around, but perhaps we can bring in support or help from our team or others to plug those gaps. And there's things that do matter to us, that and I suppose that's the territory where, you know, there's a lot of benefit to be had from taking small steps and moving towards a growth mindset. If it's costing us, you know, it's costing us dear in our lives, and there's something that we're having to avoid for whatever reason, that actually we'd like to be able to get to grips with and overcome. Yeah. Okay. So this is so interesting. And I know we're really, you know, skimming the surface of mindset. And I do you know, encourage any listeners to look more into mindset and also to find you know, your mindset work. And I know you train coaches, like you said, and I know you work in schools, and you also, you know, with us are a coach and a sort of speaker for the Working Parent Company as well. Two final questions. I'd love to know the impact learning about mindset that's had, the impact it's had on you personally, learning about mindset. And also, I'd love to know, in this current situation that we're all in, where there's so much suffering, so much anxiety, but also silver linings for many people as well, what are the positives that are coming out of the pandemic, if any, for you, and the changes that you're hoping for in the new world that we're all, you know, moving towards?
So if we take that second question first, for me, the positives here is that we are starting to, and if we think about mindset work, we are starting to have the opportunity to see that things don't have to be fixed. You know, school systems don't have to be fixed. Your 12-year-old probably really appreciates not having to be out the door at 7:45, as opposed to, you know, being on his laptop in bed probably at 8:45. Yeah. So we are starting to bust down some myths about how learning needs to be and how schools need to structure. And similarly, the level of independence that children can have. You know, I'm a great believer in promoting appropriate and positive independence with our children. And I think we just had to here, you know, and a lot of people who would have much rather done everything for their children until they're 42 or whatever, are having to let go of a lot of things. So I think we are, by actions, we are helping our children see that they have got more strengths than may have otherwise been uncovered. So I think that's really positive.
Yeah.
What I'm really hoping for is that we don't go back to forgetting that. You know, I have this sort of image of schools taking children back in September or whenever, and almost like how they have to do with wild horses and retaming them and rebreaking them and bringing them back to a level of compliance. I really hope that schools get the message that so much independence has been garnished in these years, in these months, that what's going to happen is that children, if we build on that, they can really flourish in a new and more independent and more growth-orientated environment. I think that would be really exciting, and I think there's a possibility. And I know some incredibly innovative school leaders and teachers who will be up for that. And I think if we can make that work and make the system work in that way, you know, loosen some of the shackles of sort of centralized control, I think that the possibilities for our children in our schools are huge. So that's the silver lining that I see.
That's put a smile on my face instantly. Thank you.
Yes, well, you can imagine the 60 parents you told me you talked to the night before last, you know, they want to hear these type of things.
Absolutely.
And we can agitate for that, can't we? As parents, I think we need to not protect our children, but we can advocate for positive research-based change. So that's important. And to your first question, the impact that it's had on me, I mean, I'm like many other people, I'm a learner. I enjoy learning. And I found when I learned about mindset theory, it opened my eyes to where I had a fixed mindset as a teenager and how I underperformed through teenage years, and then therefore made some really bad career choices and had developed a really fixed mindset about my potential. And also I was really resistant to feedback. So I had a couple of big giants to slay, really. Knowing about it, one of them I could transform instantly because I could just recognize and then put it down. The other has been hard work. You know, it's been 10 years of trying to embrace the, that one feedback form that shines out from all the other good ones that says, "Yeah, it wasn't so good, Charlie." To embrace that. I'm working on that and it's been really helpful. But mostly, I think as a parent, it's where it's been really useful. Four children, different approaches, different sets of beliefs. I've watched a couple of them transform their own mindset with no intervention from me, and a couple of them transform alongside me and with some support from me. So I think it, in all the things that I've got in my parenting toolkit, it's right up there. It's right up there as one of the most very important things, because I believe in my potential for change and growth, and I believe in my children's potential for change and growth, and I act from that place. As often as I can. I won't say all the time, but as often as I can.
We're all human, aren't we? As often as we can sounds like a good thing to aim for. Charlie, you have been brilliant. It's been so helpful listening to you talk and unpick this for us. And I have got some takeaways for myself. So I hope the listeners that are listening in have got some takeaways too. Where can people find out more about you, Charlie? Where do we direct people?
So the easiest thing is to just email me. I have a website called loveyourcoaching.com, which doesn't talk about mindsets. It talks about my coaching work, but my links and my contact details are there. My email is charlie@loveyourcoaching.com. And I'm very happy to engage with people to talk about mindsets, to talk about parenting generally. You know, I deliver a number of programs and talks with you and Kerry, Sharon. So I'm accessible in that way, but please don't feel shy. I have probably got 1,000 documents on my computer related to mindsets and parent, mindsets in school. So I've got lots of things that I could share. And what we find is when we talk about this, something specific is provoked for different people. So if there's something you want to know more about, just drop me a note and I'll happily and easily and freely share whatever you need to help you with your mindset as a parent. It's not an easy job, we know that, and this is, I think it's a great resource that we can use.
You have been as generous as always. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I wish you well, and hopefully for a sunny couple of days to come. So thank you, Charlie. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Sharon. Thanks for such interesting, insightful questions, and you keep well as well too.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Bye now.
I really enjoyed that conversation with Charlie. Thank you so much for listening. We'll make sure there's a link to the assessment about fixed and growth mindset in the podcast description that you can download. Next time, we're going to be looking at the subject of homeschooling. And as summer schools possibly start to transition back over coming weeks, but some of us will still have children at home, then what if homeschooling is really important? Where does our focus need to be? And what can we let go of as parents? Above all else, please stay well, stay centered, and stay resourced. Look forward to seeing you next time.